Welcome back to D&B College. Today we're going deep on a proper advanced jungle move, taking a fill from an existing break, slicing it in Ableton Live 12, and turning it into a DJ tool that can carry a transition, a pickup, or a drop leading with real old-school energy. This is not about making a flashy stutter effect. It's about keeping the soul of the break intact, while giving yourself control over the rhythm and the arrangement. That's the sweet spot. If you do it right, the fill still feels like a drummer played it, but now it behaves like a precise phrase you can reuse anywhere in the tune. Start by choosing the right source. You want a break or break-based loop that already has personality. Something with real transient shape, a bit of swing, some hat texture, and a fill moment that naturally opens up at the end of a phrase. Classic amen-type material works beautifully, but any break with a strong final bar can do the job. Drop the audio into a track in Ableton Live 12, turn warp on if needed, and isolate the exact fill you want. Usually you're looking for the last two beats, or maybe one bar at the end of a 4-bar or 8-bar phrase. That's where the drummer has already created tension for you. That's where the magic lives. What you want to listen for first is simple. Does this fill actually lift the energy without sounding like it drifts off tempo? And second, are there enough clear kick, snare, or ghost note transients in there to reshape into something useful? If the answer is yes, you're already in business. Now open the clip and start placing warp markers with intention. Don't quantize every tiny waveform spike. That's where people kill the feel. Instead, lock the important stuff, the main snare, the key kicks, and any ghost hits that define the movement. Leave some of the micro detail a little loose, if it helps the break breathe. Why this works in D&B is because jungle fills need that balance between control and drag. If you force every transient onto the grid, you lose the propulsion. If you leave everything messy, it won't land like a tool. You want enough precision to make it usable, and enough looseness to keep it alive. That contrast is the whole game. From there, you've got two strong directions. You can slice the fill into a drum rack for playable control, or you can chop it manually in arrangement view for more exact phrase shaping. If you want fast variation and performance style triggering, drum rack slicing is great. If you want a more deliberate, composed fill that lands exactly where you want it, manual chopping is often better. Either way, think beyond chopped loop. Build a phrase. A strong old-school fill often works like this. An anchor hit first, maybe a snare or kick that the ear recognizes, then a smaller variation, then some negative space, and finally a more decisive final hit that pushes into the next section. That final bar can get denser, but be careful not to overdo it. Sometimes removing one slice is heavier than adding another one. What you're listening for here is direction. Does the fill point forward? Does it feel like it's pulling the listener into the next section? Or does it just sit there and occupy space? If it feels busy but not purposeful, simplify it. In jungle and old-school D&B, a little restraint usually hits harder than constant activity. Once the phrase is working, clean up the slice boundaries. This is where a lot of people lose the vibe. Tiny clicks, ugly tail overlaps, and sloppy slice endings can destroy the punch. Use short fades, trim the tails, and keep the attack on each slice tight. If a hit already has a strong transient, you don't need to soften the front. You just need to make sure the end is clean. This matters a lot in D&B because the fill is often carrying high transient density. If the tails blur together, the whole thing turns to mush right before the drop. And right before the drop is exactly where you need the drums to feel sharp. Now shape the sound with stock Ableton devices only. A solid chain for gritty old-school weight is EQ8, drum bus, and saturator. First, trim out unnecessary subrumble. You usually want to clean below roughly 30 to 40 Hz so the fill doesn't fight the kick and bass. If the top is too harsh, dip a little around that upper presence range instead of killing the whole high end. Then use drum bus with moderate drive to add thickness and attitude, and a little saturator to bring forward the mid-range. If the fill starts sounding flat, back off compression first. In D&B, it is usually better to preserve transient snap and use saturation for edge than to squash the life out of it with too much compression. You want the fill to hit, not just exist. Another useful chain is EQ8, compressor and saturator, especially if the break feels boxy or uneven. Trim some mud around the low mids if needed. Use only gentle compression, and then add a bit of harmonics so the slices stay audible when the full track comes back in. A big decision here is stereo width. Do you want the fill to stay mono tight or open up briefly? For hard drop-ins and rolling transitions, keeping it centered is usually the strongest move. It gives the kick, snare, and sub-maximum clarity. For breakdown exits, fake outs, or second drop moments, you can widen just the upper texture a little, but keep the low frequency centered. If the fill loses punch in mono, it's too dependent on facey width. What to listen for here is whether the fill still feels solid when you check it against the incoming groove. Loop the last two bars before the drop and play the fill with the main snare, the bass pickup, and the first kick of the next section. This is the real test. The fill should hand off energy, not compete with the drop. If the bass entry suddenly feels smaller, the fill is probably crowding the pocket. Shorten the last tail, move the final hit slightly earlier, or remove one slice. A great jungle fill often feels like it opens space for the downbeat. It does not steal the downbeat. When the rhythm is working, commit it. Bounce it, consolidate it, print it to audio. Advanced producers get stuck here all the time, endlessly micro-adjusting something that already works. Don't fall into that trap. If the fill feels right in context, freeze the best version and move on. That keeps the track moving and makes future variations easier. And yes, build variations. A good DJ tool is not one fill. It's a little families of fills. Make a second version by changing just one or two things. Maybe remove the first hit. Maybe pitch the final slice slightly down for more dread. Maybe extend the last hit into something crashier. Maybe swap the last two slices so the push feels different. That way the second drop can evolve without sounding like a copy-paste. That's a very old-school mindset. Familiar, but slightly mutated. Recognizable, but a little more dangerous the second time around. A few extra pro habits can really level this up. Try muting the bass for one pass, then bringing it back immediately. If the fill only feels exciting without the low end, it's probably doing too much of the arrangement's work by itself. Also check the fill at two volumes. Quiet monitoring tells you whether the rhythm actually makes sense. Loud monitoring tells you whether the tail is masking the drop. If it only works at one level, the balance probably needs a rethink. And listen to the last hit like it's the shadow of the first kick. That final slice should create space for the downbeat, not own it. If the drop feels smaller after the fill, shorten the tail or reduce the density. That one adjustment can make the whole transition feel bigger. For darker, heavier jungle and DNB, one killer trick is contrast. Keep one dirty anchor hit, then let the final slice carry more filtered or saturated energy. Darkness comes from restraint, not from crushing every slice equally. You can even let one slice be a little uglier than the rest. That asymmetry often gives the phrase its menace. You can also try a tiny downward pitch on the last hit for extra dread. Keep it subtle. The goal is tension, not cartoon wobble. Another strong move is a one-beat gap before the final hit. In darker DNB, that empty space can feel heavier than piling on another slice. So here's the bigger picture. A slice jungle fill only works as a DJ tool if it still feels like a human decision, not a grid decision. The best ones have direction, character, and just enough recklessness to stay alive. They're not over-authored. They're not over-corrected. They breathe, but they still land exactly where the track needs them. Let's land this with a quick recap. Choose a break with real character and isolate the fill moment. Mark only the important transients. Slice it into a playable phrase, either with drum rack or manual chopping. Rebuild the rhythm so it actually pulls toward the next section. Clean the edges so the slices don't click or smear. Use stock Ableton processing to add grit and control without flattening the groove. Keep the fill monotight unless width genuinely helps the transition. Then test it against the incoming kick, snare, and bass before you commit it to audio. After that, make a second variation so the track can evolve later on. If you've got 15 minutes, do the practice exercise, build one tight mono version and one wider version, both under one bar, from the same break, using only stock Ableton devices. Then listen for how the original break character survives, how the final hit hands off to the next section, and whether the fill still works once the sub comes back in. Do that well, and you've got something seriously useful, a jungle fill that still feels raw, but now behaves like a proper DJ tool. That's the sound. That's the craft. Now go make it pull the room forward.